Commander Pugh, One of the characteristics of the hallucinogen is the suicidal tendency that it generates. For example, one young person under LSD another said, I experienced the desire to die. Collected a public report and testimonials. And almost from every city, I have examples of these that are inclined towards suicide because of the influence of these hallucinogens like LSD. There are the different examples you may have read about. The young man in California who walked in front of a speeding automobile because under the influence of the drugs he sent the car to get up here. Or the young man that jumped out of the fourth story window in New York. Why did he do it? Because he said he could fly into the influence of LSD. Apart from these, we know that barbiturate poisoning is one of the main means of suicide in today's Western world. One of America's most respected doctors, concentrating his study on a number of university students using LSD. Some of the students in cold houses sitting in the cold house long after their first taking of an LSD. The faces of their fellow students suddenly became distorted. They told of going to the cafeteria and ordering a plate of food. Suddenly became a boredom.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Saturday, May 19th, 2001. Nearing 3:30 p.m. Arnold Arboretum. Hillside. Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. It's the last entry in this journal and this one. I've been laid off my job, given 2 weeks' notice as of beginning of the week. I'm going to check this out one more time, make sure it's working okay. Seems to be. Yeah, Harvard Business School Publishing and I are coming to a parting of the ways in less than a week. It was a rough week to get through after I got this notice, which came late Monday afternoon. I ended up calling in sick twice, in part because I had 2 sick days available and I decided I wanted to use them, but in part because I just couldn't stand going in there. I don't know how much better I am about the whole thing now. Now we got to get through one more week. And that's gonna suck. I think Lainey will be back on Monday. So that's good news. I came here today because I hadn't been here in a long, long time, and it seemed like a good idea. I spent last night with Rick. Last night and this morning. And, I decided I don't want to come here. The movie I'm planning to see is after 5, so I have maybe an hour or so here. Probably gonna dose soon. But not yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm behind in my journal, that's annoying me. Seeing yet another guy walk with his girl really fucking annoys me. Too many fucking years of it. It's funny, I always end up at the same spot. Probably because it's near to where I come into the park. Thank you. check something. I thought there might be a water fountain, but no. I saw someone bend over. For some reason, I couldn't tell from here, but I just went to check. That person was sniffing flowers, not drinking water. Funny, huh? So here I am, and I can't stay too long, but I'm here to soak up some of the goodness of this place. Made it to side B. It's somewhere between uncomfortably warm and uncomfortably cool, which is nice. Surrounded by trees. Not hurried for the moment. Bad things happen to good people sometimes, and there's no explanation, there's no reason. I keep coming back to this thought. There's even a book with that title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. My whole adolescence was a bad thing. Very peaceful here. No one really asks anything of this patch of earth. People walk around in it and relax, and they bike and they walk, they play frisbee, they picnic. But no one really asks this area to do anything. No one asks these trees to be anything. They just grow. And they grow nicely. It's a stress reliever to be here. I haven't been here in so long. I'm not really sure why. I'm grateful for me doing this thought, this voice journal again. It's good. sky is clouded up. I want a dose, but I want to be worthy of it. There was so much shame in my growing up. So much shame. Poverty. Handicapped children. A father who kept losing jobs and a mother who bore most of the worst aspects of social Judaism. The clannishness, the prejudice. The sense of being an outsider. Not that the times were terribly tolerant or welcoming of anything better than these things, but I just regret it over and over. I try not to be what she was, and sometimes I am what she was, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm myself. When I'm myself, I'm a different person. Generous and funny, interesting, witty, sharp, ribald. When I'm here, I'm fearful and prejudiced and ashamed. Go soon. I knew coming here I would have to go soon. I'm gonna dose now and listen to some music. Yes, indeed. More later. I'm gonna put this tape in my pocket so I don't lose it, forget it.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Thank you. Thank you.
the same night, 11:15 p.m. or so, I'm exiting the Malden Center T station. It's a gorgeous night. Things went okay overall. I saw a stupid movie called Town and Country, which maybe I'll like more some other time, thinking about it, but mostly it just seemed stupid and obvious. Like, Warren Beatty really shouldn't be given lead roles in movies anymore. An awful lot of nothing. That's how I feel about it. Detouring site me in a corral shopping cart. Which I have no doubt will make my walk home a little bit easier. Well, the batteries in it still are running. And I have lots of tape left. So, I saw this movie Town and Country, which was about this man who apparently was monogamous to his wife for 25 years, and then when he stopped being monogamous, he really stopped being monogamous, and it just kept getting worse and worse, and it turns out his best friend is gay, and was having an affair with a man, and I don't know, somehow the Warren Beatty guy sort of loses everything in the end, but is contrite, and so it's left with him maybe reconciling with his wife. And the image of a weather vane is used over and over. A weather vane in a country house that he and his wife own. A weather vane that's always knocked over, never standing up straight. And so he fixes it in the end. Which I guess is a good thing. I don't know. It just didn't matter all that much. It wasn't that much of a movie, and I was taken in because some reviewer said it was a comedy of grace. About grace, or with grace in it, or grace at the end. And it just didn't seem like it really mattered all that much. Anyway, then there was this dreamlike time of taking the bus from Arlington back to Harvard Square and going to Newbury Comics looking for R.E.M.'s new album on LP and not finding it, but being told by a guy there who called that the Boston Newbury Comics has had a copy and they put it aside for me. And so I continued on and caught the bus to Caught the bus from Harvard Square to essentially the corner of Mass Avenue and Newbury Street, near where Newbury Comics is, and my record was there. It's $25, an import, but I now have it, and can feel the light. I haven't bought an LP in a while. I was kind of avoiding it. It's such a personal thing to me that I just didn't want to. I didn't want to deal with it. I'd rather not think about it. And think about it before. Now I'm throttling along. The night is nice. Amazing how people artfully ignore you as they go by. Just, you don't exist. You're acknowledged on some level, but not in any way that there's this level of human interaction that's entirely social. It's a social level of interaction. It's completely created. It's a survival level, only in the sense of surviving or functioning or attempting to function in a given society at a given time. There's nothing universal about it, no universal need to for food or sustenance or fucking housing, whatever, you know, the usual small number of things that transcend whatever society one's in. Just this layer and I think that for many people they don't realize that it's just a layer. It's not the whole thing. That things run deeper and faster and far more connected than they know. Such a pressing for individual glory, individual achievement, and it all adds up to nothing. There's a poem by Shelley? Keats? It's one of the early romantics, called Ozymandias, and I was assigned to read it when I was way too young to understand it. But essentially it's the image of the poem paints the image of a king in stone, or crumbled stone. A king named Ozymandias. And there's a disdainful look in his eye, as though the statue is meaning to say, look upon my riches and my wealth and tremble. But meanwhile, it's a crumbled statue in the middle of an empty ruin. And there's nothing to look upon except the falseness of all earthly glory. And it almost sounds biblical to say things like that. But I don't feel like my art is for me. And I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know. It's strange. I wrote a poem tonight that's just so strange, and I don't know what to make of it. It seems more like raving, lunatic, and yet it's artful and musical. To me, on the outer fringes of my own identity at this time, me, almost beyond myself, not quite, but almost. Very peculiar. I was thinking of stopping at the 60s rock and just taking a break. I'm going to read it. Series 6 Nocturnes, Series 4, Number 10. It should have a title like All Glory Passeth. In fact, I'm going to give it that title. All that is. All glory passeth. The power raised tonight, the mortal tyrant within crushed. The eye roams over pink cheeks, over any slip of flesh revealed. The smoke of a smile, the blind of a finger, the thrill of the power raised, watching that which twitches and dances to the power strummed, the tumult in power stroked through oil. Canvas her body as she awaits her costume tonight. Her pleasure to conduit power wildly. A split mattress, a splintered bush, a fucked taboo, fuck me harder. Approach the trees themselves for notice. See if this power raised is rain or shine or breeze, or more mewing from a race unfit to bear its dreams. A few of them architects, a handful musicians, but shred so easily by the power they raise, 1,000 for one to briefly stroke. But again tonight, the power is raised. The bastards about give way. Nature will tell everything if we cease to ask, cease to ignore. The trees are ready. The kittens, piranhas, typhoons, all ready. Power raised again tonight. No answers, no puzzles. Cherry blossoms, no walls. Spit into your hands and be ready to clobber cosmos or face mask. The blood to equal, to better one's dreams, to follow the lick steadily from breast to belly. Bush to back, to give over to her tongue or his tongue or their several touches, to release to the deeper danger within which hardly murmurs at dusk. Fuck him, fuck her, fuck them when the moon roars up from the horizon. Begin with tears, words approach us, instruct us to wait, to listen, to learn how to give, how to receive, how identity merges within the flock and coalesces into the egg. Dogs won't abandon us, remembering love still. The power raised, perhaps even a notice tonight by this electrical universe. Words approach us, instruct us to wait, to listen, to learn how to give, how to receive, how identity merges within the flock and coalesces into the egg. Dogs won't abandon us, remembering love still. The power raised, perhaps even a notice tonight by this electrical universe. Love the aching puzzle, no puzzles, no questions. Love a steam of flicking diamonds, an endless smoke, a flue. Love the pool of flicking maybes. Love the curing smoke. Love the birthing pyre. Love restraint, confusion, liberty, the power raised tonight while all awaits us. Your blue eyes afar You blue eyes far tonight as the trees await, as I'm told ascend but do not yet. Something remains here in the strews and the beams. Something remains, no puzzles, no answers, neither tattered nor invincible. Something remains, some string of notes, blue-eyed and blonde, something to explain the gleam and the pitch, something the trees and sky and dimensions many will allow me, something important, a steam, a smoke, a flu, the power raised tonight, the power stroked, the power strummed, the mortal tyrant within again crushed, no answers, no puzzles in my eventual swoop within you, and a greater music and a greater silence. Fuck. There's just no fucking accounting for shit like that. There's just no accounting for poetry like that. That's just written out of fucking desperation, man. That's all it is. I'm writing now. 11:30 p.m. or so. Canal Street. 60s Rock. Alden, Mass. It's not past midnight, so all is the usual. No zombie town yet. That fucking poem is wild. Oh, it's what I'm writing. It's wild. I'm writing in voice journal too. Home by midnight, hoping not on computer all night. Crazy motherfuckers speed by. Hickville. That's what this fucking is. Zombie Town is Hicksville. Hickville. New page. New hope. Always in pen moving, always in pen moving. Yeah, they're more like sermons now, these poems. You know, they feel like sermons. They feel like intuitions. They feel like prognostications. They feel like news from somewhere, and I don't know where. News of a different kind. I'm not displeased. Just amazed at what's within me still. After all the poems I've written, to have more poems still within me, and some of them good. I'm going crazy. But I mean, it's just, it's crazy to have taken on writing a series of 36 poems. Six series of that is crazy. And now I'm soon to be jobless. I don't know if I'm fearing for my sanity, but damn, when it's late at night, and it's Saturday night, and I've been tripping,
I'm just so far out there. I'm so porous to things. And I know some of it's me, and some of it's the universe, and some of it's myth, and some of it's truth. It's a fucking mix of shit. I seem to live this life where I go the harder path. I write the fucking harder poems. Poems just fucking swoop and dive and fucking are crazy. They're just fucking crazy. But they're monumental. Sic Gloria Transit, I think that's the phrase. What a funny... what a funny title to such a long... That it matters keeps me moving. That it doesn't keeps me from going out of my mind. That it matters keeps me moving. That it doesn't keeps me from going out of my mind. I'm gonna talk to the spirits and into this machine at the same time. I haven't done this in a while. I think I respect the spirits too much to do anything in any way purposely that would insult them. But I don't think they're insulted in a easy way. I don't think that that's what they're like. I don't fear being here. I'm tripping. This is superficially spooky, but no, it's not. I love this place, and I always have. And someday I'll be leaving it, moving on, living elsewhere, but I'll never forget the comfort that I derived greatly in part from being here, admiring the beauty, the power, the grace. It's a wonderful place. All glory passeth. That's the name of that poem. It's a traditional and biblical phrase. It's Latin. There's a Latin version of it. Sic Gloria Transit. More later.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 XUIF Commander Q.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
On Spirit and on Radio Nova. What guest do you get?
36 XUIF Commander Q. Commander
Q. 10 minutes, 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 10
Thank you.
Sunday, May 20th, 2001, 3:25 p.m., walking down Canal Street, Malden, Mass. It's sunny and nice out today. As a matter of fact, it's really... Well, it's kind of too warm for my jacket, but it's not warm enough for no jacket. Okay, so I'll keep jacket. That was quite a poem last night. I pushed the shit as far as it would go. The good news, in a way, the last couple weekends is that, well, in the past 8 days, my 2 best days of writing have been when I was tripping on Saturday. So I guess there's virtue to that. Anyway, I'm all packed full of radio stuff. Onward to that scene. It was a good day yesterday. Read a lot, thought a lot. I feel all right now. Well, I don't have a job. But somehow, I'm not going to starve and I'm not going to lose my apartment. Well, even more specifically, I'm not going to starve and I'm not going to lose my stuff. The apartment I can take or leave, but the stuff is mine. I did the little bit of my dishes that I had, and I moved some stuff around, to be dealt with. Got a lot of partly made and completely made books and magazines. And so I'm just worried about them getting damaged through happenstance. So I want to do something protective with them all. And more than that, I want to get them out the fucking door to people who would appreciate them. I'm doing nobody any good sitting in my house just collecting dust and chancing damage, really. That was a good poem last night. I called Rick to read it to him. I called Joe first. He wasn't there. I called Rick. He was sleeping. He didn't want to hear poetry. That annoyed me since he said he was so interested in my trips. I guess he's interested in them when he's not sleeping. I should be more tolerant than I am, but I did just call to talk. Well, whatever. God damn it, missed the fucking train again. Oh, man. Every fucking week I miss this fucking train 2 minutes. I think it's because I leave at 3:15. Gotta fucking leave at 3:10. Anyway. So the good news is that I have REM's LP, so I'll make up a little time by not having to stop at HMV Records this week, which is cool. Tired, I'm wiped. But I'm trying. I'm gonna fucking succeed. Thank you. It's near 9:45. More like 9:40. Hold on, I'll check. It's 9:35. Left Mullen Center T Station. Walking down this commercial street. Malden, Mass. Appear to have about 10 minutes left to this tape. So, I'll try to get to some content. My show went okay today. There were a few minor errors, but overall it went alright. When I left the guy at 8 o'clock, the DJ at 8 o'clock didn't show up. So I left 5 discs shuffling in one of the CD players. I feel strange because in my mind I've already accounted for the money that I'm going to be earning this week at Harvard. Even as, I'm past that place. I've accounted in my mind for the money as though I've already received it and as though I've already been through the week necessary to earn it. I guess I'm getting used to the idea of being unemployed again. Though this is the first time in a long time where it was not planned. I think the last time, there have only been a couple instances where I quit a job since I've been in Boston. One was in 94 when I quit Harvard Bookstore. And one was in 99. It was January 99. When I quit that architect place in Harvard Square. I had a long stint I got fired from a gas station back in 89. So, 89, 94, 99, 2001. It's happening every 5 years. It's happened now. It happened 2 years ago. But that's just not... That's three sudden departures from jobs in 12 years, so I clearly don't. When I got fired, Harvard Bookstore too, 89 was a fired, 94 was quit, 99 was quit, 2001 laid off. And I've never been laid off a long-term temp job. I've only had a very few of them, so to be suddenly laid off is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm gonna turn this off for a little bit and mull. Try to think of some conclusions. Okay, Bellark Cemetery. I'm gonna talk till this thing clicks off filled. I have to find a job. I have to find one quickly. I have to get lucky and find something good. That's all there is to it. Back in January 99, back from Big Cypress and the Rainbow Family Gathering, I had like $500 to my name, maybe. Well, I have more than that now, but I just can't deal with this not having a job thing. Income's too important to keep my shit going. I don't have a ton of expenses, but I have enough. And they don't stop. I don't stop. I don't want to stop. So, there it is. That's what it's about. Gotta get a job. And until I do, things will not be right. I will not feel comfortable. I won't feel good. I'll feel uptight. And I'll feel irritated. I guess that's it. I need a job. I need a better one than Harvard. I'd like it to be permanent.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 XU if Commander Q.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Voice Journal of Raymond Sula Jr., Volume 265. It is Thursday, April 28th, 2022, at 6:56 p.m. Bungalow C, Attic Study, Work Table, Milcrest, Massachusetts. So that was indeed the last call I was able to place on Gumby, that I recorded some of, because his phone service shut down the next day. Nothing I could do about it. His texting still works, and his internet still works, and I'm not sure when they'll go off, if they'll go off. I don't really know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But they didn't. They didn't with the phone service, so that leaves an unanswered question. So that was in the last volume. Well, it was in volume 262, because the last two volumes in the series were the other stream, the Creature Tale cassettes, but the last one that was this, the Voice Journal Classic, had that conversation. And then, unintentionally, I recorded kind of muffled, because this machine was in my bag in a zip pocket. It recorded at least some of the presentation I gave with my fellow Ginkgo employees, my fellow teammates at the BioBuilder workshop, the fifth and final day of it. We give a presentation on something we called Super Tree. a theoretical project idea meant to reduce carbon in the atmosphere. And unmistakably, I can hear my faint voice behind all the hiss, just trying to get through what felt like a very undercooked presentation. Honestly, I was done with that class. By the time that came, I was just done. I was tired. I was spent. I learned a lot, but I really wasn't in a position to learn anymore. And so, I did not intend to record that, and it's funny that it recorded. And it didn't even record it in a full-blown way. It recorded in a muffled, in a zip pocket kind of way, so. We'll figure. Testing quality on the battery. Fine. For now. I still haven't figured out why sometimes my voice on playback sounds like chipmunks. I don't know whether that will translate like that to when I digitize them. I haven't had that problem so far, but I'm not saying it won't. I just don't know. Lucky I have audio equipment that can, audio software that can kind of fix it, but it's still annoying. But whatever. Today's my birthday. Cassie is, coincidentally, not by her preference, she's not here today until later this evening. Her work, one of its big fundraiser celebration events is today. She's been gone all day. I got off to a very slow start. It wasn't until around noon that I started really cohering into the day. And then I basically just worked the afternoon, meetings and whatnot. I think I was still lingering online at work until near 5, which is not usual for me, but okay. And then I finally managed to get up here. It was like the slowest arrival ever to get up here. But the Attic Radio Jazz Station is on. My work table is fairly clear. It's not at least heaped at this point. I have my Attic sweater and coat on, though I'm not sure I so much need it. And Attic hat. And Nuja hat under my Attic hat, so I'm really probably overdressed for what is not exactly a cold Attic. But that's fine. I read my chapter of Arthur Conan Doyle's Under the Baskervilles. I'm going to pass that way. Doing chapters, I think I finished 8 of them. Really good story. Very much enjoying it. I wrote my journal, so I'll talk about that later. I have every last bit of sentimental material that is not mine in hand. Only thing from others that I have not yet processed is the folder feedback from everybody. That's like a, I guess, a separate task. I just haven't gotten to it, but it's pending. But everything else is ready, except for my work, which is really funny. That's here, it is the 28th, and my work's not done. It's in various states of undone. Labyrinthine simply waits typing. Bags in you simply waits typing. Many musics, my poem is unwritten. Unfinished. Not unwritten, but unfinished. I have just endless pages of draft-level lines. Dream Maps, for notes from England. Dream Maps, Volume 11, which is for last year. Cassie typed all 36 of them. But I've not done anything with them yet, though I have some ideas. History of Scripture Press, undone. Supposed to be September through December 2012. Undone. It's not like I haven't started on that, but it's not anywhere near where it needs to be. And from Soulard's Notebooks, also unwritten. Luckily, that's something I typically do late in the process. It takes me usually about an hour to figure it out, so I'm not so worried about that one. But and I'm going to allow myself to not worry about typing Labyrinthine or Bags in at this time. Because it's how close they are. I'm going to write from Schiller's Notebooks before the end of the month, because the April 2022 issue, I don't want to write it in May, so that's be concerned by Saturday. So really, many musics in history of script or press are the two most positively behind things. And here I am. I should have spent today better, because I had so many hours, I could have done so much more with them, but I didn't. But I still have some left. I'm guessing Cassie will be home for 2 to 3 hours longer. She's gone to these events annually at her work since she's been at that job for a number of years, and I think she usually gets home around 9:30 or 10. So I'm not out of time. I'm just not yet focused. I was doing other things. I ate a bowl of cereal. I did my journal. I was reviewing the last volume, Voice Journal Classic volume of this series, to see what I didn't even understand what was going on after the Gumby final call recording, because I didn't think I'd recorded anything subsequently, and it turned out I did by accident. But I'm just going to leave it. I might clean it up when it gets to 36x, if possible. I don't know if I can. Maybe. Might be able to do something with it to make it a little less virtually unintelligible, especially if you don't know what it is, which I did. I only knew what it was on the basis of knowing what it was, not on the basis of it being in any way clear to the ear what it is. So, this week, there have been meetings and discussions about my friend Greg Kelly, and the idea on the table of Ginkgo hiring through an overseas job contractor, because they don't have an office in England where he lives, but there's a company that is kind of like they act as the employer of record for companies that don't have presences in countries. They're like, that's who the person works for. But then the work they're doing is for whoever's paying the employer of record. He's going to be interviewed by the recruiter tomorrow at Ginkgo. This guy named Darren, who's a nice guy, very into fish. I'm hopeful that, I don't see why not, but you know, I'm anticipating that Greg will give Darren a very good impression, so that he can pass that on to others I work with, so it's not just me cheerleading, but it's others as well. I don't know how this all plays out. I don't know if the money that will be used to pay him on contract would be the equivalent of what would be used to hire someone else full-time. I really don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. But I've been told, keep going, keep trotting along, keep getting Greg toward interviews, which he's just about arrived to, and on a separate track, keep pushing toward getting another person to fill the full-time role that's available. So I couldn't end up with two new colleagues. At one point, I had two technical writer colleagues and a trainer colleague. There were three people on my team. Those three people have all moved on. And so it's just me. And there are other people kind of on the team in other ways, shapes, and form, but none doing my job or the trainer job. So it's just me right now, and the idea is to not leave me to do all this stuff by myself. But I'm still not knowing how all of this will play out. And I am hopeful, like, if somehow the end result was that they hired Greg on a long-term contract and no full-timer actually ever materialized additionally, I'd be fine with it. Because I've had one technical writer to work with for the past year or so. He wasn't that good. He had a bad attitude. He thought the he was too good for the job. Fancied himself an author because he published books, and this was a gig he did for a paycheck. And while he was a nice guy, more or less personally, he was friendly at least, and I was super nice to him to keep good relations, he never belonged in this job, and it was a bad idea, and he got another job, and good riddance. I hope he's happy where he landed. I don't care. I rarely am with, in fact, I'm rarely with less curiosity as to where someone moved on to and how they did. I had to put up with him for a year, and I am quite, since he didn't get fired or anything, you know, he moved on to a job that he was boasting of the responsibilities and the money and everything. It's like, okay, he's fine. He and I never really were friends in any kind of non-work together way. I didn't like him, basically. He complained about everything. He was never satisfied. Everything was about him and his complaining to the world. It was annoying. He didn't appreciate where we worked. Even when they transitioned him from contract to full-time, which never happens for technical writers. It so rarely happens. And yet they did it for both of us. And he didn't appreciate this. He was just rolling along looking for something else. And my guess is that he already has a set of complaints about his new employer, because I doubt that any place he would work would be beyond his ability to complain about it. Some people are just like that. I want to bring on Greg, who will be so thrilled to be there, will work hard, will people like him, you know. But I'm just being patient, and in the meantime, doing the work, keeping it going, you know, which is all there is to it, really. There isn't anything else to say. But his meeting, his first meeting, formal meeting with in the hiring process, in terms of having a conversation with by Zoom, of course, will be tomorrow at 11, Boston. So that's exciting. That's exciting. What else? We're still on the wait list for Burning Man tickets. And it's now been, more than a week. The COVID numbers are rising. I'm struggling to admit to myself that we're probably not going this year. That's frustrating, but between not understanding that they've shifted the entire ticketing around completely to make it impossible to get a fucking ticket unless you're part of a theme camp, and even then it's a struggle, but less of one since there's more tickets available overall, and the fact that the pandemic has not gone away, it just doesn't add up well. It's not looking hopeful. But Cassie and I agree, we wait until her works event was over to figure it out. We also have to decide about going to visit her family. We have plane tickets for that. And I don't think that's happening either, unless you want to be masked up like I was at my workplace the past 4 days, like she is today at her workplace event, where you just go and you have a mask from the moment you leave the door to the moment you arrive back. It's not a comfortable way to be. And it's one thing for work, which is work. Work is not when one is at one's most relaxed. But her visiting her family, the house she grew up in, and all her parents and all, and having her mask on the entire time, it doesn't seem comfortable. And otherwise, it's not safe. There's no in between. Birthday. I'm 58 today. I don't feel 58. I think that's probably because my health is good, for which I'm very grateful. I think declining health is one of the ways in which people start to feel old. One of them, not there are many others, but certainly physical decline is one way that one starts to feel old. Cassie's been dealing with a rash on her face that I was talking to her the other day about during our last Gumby call. And it's gone down, it's diminished a lot. I told her the only present I want from her is to not give in to the urge to rub or scratch the places that it is affected so that it can continue to heal. That's all I want for a present. I don't have any gifts. I suppose that that's part and parcel with I could buy something if I wanted something. going to have to buy a partner for Gumby. For the phone part, anyway. I haven't done it yet, but it's a plan. I suppose that will be kind of gift, though, not the one I want. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with a positive attitude, and I'm going to make it so that each accommodates each and all. Right, so all that remains now is to work on many musics. Well, as long as I got some sort of unknown stretch of time, I'm going to work on many musics and listen to jazz on the attic radio. The house alarm is set because I'm up here. Cassie will turn it off when she gets home. I left her a text message saying I'm up in the attic so she'll know where I am. Birthday, I don't have an answer. My colleague Joel said, when I said that to him, he said, well, you know you've survived another year. You've made it through another year. I just don't think about it that way. It's not wrong. But I don't think of birthdays so much as the end of the year as the beginning of the next one, if I think of them at all in those terms. All right, that is it for now. More later.
Thank you.